99.9 FM WTCZ Racine and 98.1 FM W251BU Kenosha.
And streaming everywhere on the Civic Media app.
This is the CBS World News Roundup, sponsored by Staples.
I'm Peter King. Republicans want President Biden to reinstate Trump-era immigration restrictions, and they've gone to a Texas border crossing to make their point. House Speaker Mike Johnson spoke to CBS News in Eagle River, Texas.
We're just asking the White House to apply common sense, and they seem to be completely uninterested in doing so.
Senate Majority Leader Chuck Schumer's response from Washington.
It's very nice that they have a trip to the border, but the only way to solve this is here, working in a bipartisan way.
All of this comes as the government reopens four border crossings, including the one at Eagle River, and as the Biden administration sues Texas over a restrictive immigration law the feds say oversteps the state's authority. Correspondent Omar Villafranca.
We hear local officials on the ground argue about policy differences, but one thing that they can't agree on is more people here on the ground on the federal level, Customs and Border Patrol, and Customs Enforcement.
Donald Trump has asked the U.S. Supreme Court to hear his case for getting back on the Colorado GOP primary ballot after a judge's panel ruled him ineligible because of his role in the Capitol insurrection. CBS News legal contributor Jessica Levinson.
The questions are essentially who is covered by Section 3 of the 14th Amendment, and specifically whether or not the events of January 6th and Trump are covered by Section 3, and therefore whether he is in fact barred from the ballot.
The names of indicted sex trafficker Jeffrey Epstein's alleged victims and other connections have been released as part of a 940-page document. Some context from criminal defense attorney Joseph Tully.
His job was obviously rounding up people of influence, people in positions of power, and putting them in compromising situations. But that doesn't necessarily mean that everyone he interacted with was involved in that.
Now the top U.S. diplomat heads back to the Middle East today. Here's CBS's Cammy McCormick.
Secretary of State Antony Blinken is due to head back to the region, his fourth trip since Israel's war with Hamas began. His visit comes amid growing worries that the conflict is already spreading, with an apparent Israeli drone strike in Beirut that killed a top Hamas leader and continuing attacks against ships in the Red Sea.
In Newark, New Jersey, police are looking for whoever shot and killed an imam outside a mosque. Acting Essex County Prosecutor Theodore Stevens.
While I've indicated that this investigation is at the very early stages, the impact on the community of this sort of particularly dastardly crime cannot be understated.
On Wall Street, S&P futures, are up a fraction. This is CBS News.
Staples stores provide innovative products and services for small business, remote workers and learners, even teachers and parents. Explore more at your local Staples store.
For Civic Media News, I'm Nate Wiggehoe. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. The Wisconsin State Capitol building received a false bomb threat Wednesday morning. It was one of several state Capitol buildings across the country to receive such a threat. The building did not go into lockdown or need to evacuate, as the email threat was quickly deemed a hoax. A spokesperson with the Department of Administration says that they took additional safety measures to ensure the safety of everyone in the building. Respiratory illnesses are on the rise in Wisconsin, and there's no let-up in sight. Dr. Jeffrey Potoff is Chief Quality Officer for UW Health.
We are seeing an increase in number of patients admitted with respiratory illnesses compared with the number of patients admitted around Thanksgiving time. We're up about 40%.
Hospitals are requiring masks again. About 1,000 people in Wisconsin died from COVID-19 last year. I'm Nate Wiggehout, Civic Media News.
The Bucks fall to the Pacers. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. The Bucks lost again to the Indiana Pacers, 142-130. It's the fourth time in a row Indiana has beat Milwaukee. After halftime, the Pacers came out and scored 47 points in just the third quarter. Giannis Antetokounmpo.
They played hard. They're executing better. They're making shots. They're playing together. They're playing fast. They're crashing the board. the guarding, the loading, they are double teaming, and they're rebounding the ball.
NFL, the Packers got back several players off the injury list, and Jaire Alexander returned after a one-week suspension for conduct detrimental to the team. I asked him if he was surprised he was suspended.
Yeah, I was surprised by the suspension. I thought maybe I'd get fined.
Will Jaire play Sunday against the Bears? Matt LaFleur.
Yeah, I'm not going to get into too many of the specifics. You guys will find out later in the week, but I will say that it was great to have him back. We had a great conversation on Monday, and I think he's ready to go.
That's Packers head coach Matt LaFleur. With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
Mostly sunny today. We'll get to 32 for a high this afternoon with wind out of the northwest becoming southwesterly at 5 to 10. Tonight, partly cloudy, 24. Tomorrow, mostly cloudy, 36. Saturday, cloudy with some light snow at a high of 38. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Temperature now 30.
This is your hometown radio, refreshed, keeping you informed, entertained, and connected locally across the Civic Media Network.
News, talk, and sports.
Talk about your triple play.
Get this guy a jockstrap and a cookie.
1400 AM and 99.9 and 98.1 FM, WRJN.
Been married a couple years now. My wife's name is Ann, and we have a rule. We never go to bed angry. And I haven't slept in a week and a half. We're going to modify that rule a little bit. You know, the thing is, I'm just not used to being wrong so often. I guess it's like the tree falling in the forest thing. I was wrong when I was single. I just never heard about it. Now I hear about it. We had a fight about a month ago, a pretty big fight, and I got mad and I broke something. And afterwards, Ann suggested that I might want to take a course in anger management, which is reasonable. I suggested that she might want to take a course in anger prevention. It's a free seminar next Saturday. I'm teaching it. Just bring a pen and lots of paper. And don't be late. You know how that makes me mad.
Streets full of people, all alone. Roads full of houses, never home.
It's 7:07 at WRJN Radio. I'm Don Rosen. I want to thank you for joining us here on this Thursday morning. This hour, we're talking murder. Cold-blooded, calculated, first-degree murder. We're talking Dial M for Murder. It's coming to the Racine Theater Guild. And we have Mike Klickner, the director of Dial M for Murder, with us. And Mike, good morning. Thanks for joining us. I appreciate it.
Good morning. Thanks for having me.
Murder. Now, everyone is, well, not everyone, but a lot of people have seen the Alfred Hitchcock classic Dial M for Murder. And some people like me have seen it in 3D because it was Alfred Hitchcock's 3D movie that he made.
Oh, wow.
I think the studio forced it upon him. I don't think he wanted to make the 3D. But at the time when he made it, 3D was the hot thing in movies. And they forced him to shoot it in 3D, and he did. And I saw that years ago in 3D. So,
wow.
I mean, it's looks just fine and regular than it doesn't. It's not really one of these 3D movies where the knife comes, where the gun comes at you and shoots a bullet at you.
Right.
It's not one of those. Anyway, so how close is Dial M? First of all, when is it coming to the Racine Theater Guild? Let's do that.
Well, it actually opens very soon, next weekend, as a matter of fact. Not this coming week, but it's the following weekend. And it runs until the 28th of January. So it's the 12th of January through to the 28th of January.
Now, is it based on the movie at all, or how close is it? Because Dial M for Murder was a stage play first, and you can actually see it in the movie that it was a stage play. I mean, it's shot almost like a stage play, the way Hitchcock shot it. So is it based on the movie, the stage play? How's it based upon?
Well, yes, it is pretty much based on the movie. It was a play. It was written in 1952 by Frederick Knott, who also, people might be familiar, wrote Wait Until Dark, which is another murder mystery, which I directed a couple of years back. But it's close. It's close to the movie. You know, the movie can show a little more intricacies and things than we can on stage, and they can quick cut from one place to the other, which I can't do. But it is It's actually a play written in three acts, but we chopped it into two parts for the theater guild. We don't like to do three-act plays. It's kind of a little tricky to do that with our audiences and stuff. So we have it in two acts. The first act is leads up to the murder, and the murder actually happens. And then the second act is figuring out what just happened. What did we just see? So, yeah, it's pretty close to the movie. Not exactly, because, you know, in the movies you can show close-ups and right. You can show all kinds of things that we can't do on stage. But we do our best.
You know, the funny thing about the movie, this is what I remember most about it. I'm a big fan of spaghetti westerns, Italian westerns of the 1960s, early 70s. And one of the guys who starred in a lot of Italian westerns, not a lot of American films, but he's in this movie, Dial M for Murder. I won't tell you which part he played, but he's in this movie. And I said, that's the same guy who's in all these Italian westerns. And who knew he speak English? I didn't know he spoke English. his voice is dubbed in all the westerns and everything. Okay, so Dial M for Murder is coming up. You have one tricky thing that other theaters don't have. And there are some theaters like yours. Yours is in a giant semicircle, almost in the round, pretty close to it, where other theaters can close the curtains, open them up, and there's a whole new set. You've got to do it right in front of everybody with a blackout. And you can still see in the blackout that things are going on. So that's even trickier, because you can only do so much in a blackout because you only have a few seconds to do it, right?
Well, we're actually, it's called three-quarter thrust, the stage at the Theater Guild. It's patterned after the theater in Minneapolis. But anyway, it's three-quarter thrust, and we do a lot with lighting. We actually, in our play, you will actually see on stage somebody get killed. So, you know, we don't have to go to a blackout. We have some pretty good actors and actresses in our play, actually one actress. Four men and one woman. So, you know, they do a pretty good job of making it look pretty realistic. It's pretty scary. In fact, the woman who plays the Margot, I asked her, I said, do you have young children? And she said, yes, she does. I said, well, won't it scare them to see their mother get killed? And she said, no, they'll be fine. It's like, okay.
Okay, so if you kill the actress in every performance, that means you got to have how many actresses? Six or seven of them? Eight of them?
Well, I would like to say that we've had to have six or seven actors, but we don't actually kill the actress.
Somebody else
gets killed.
Okay, Yeah, I know who gets killed, by the way.
Yeah.
We have season tickets at the Racine Theater Guild, so we see all the shows there. Rent was spectacular. That kicked off the season, Rent, the musical.
Yeah.
The Cemetery Club, perfect. Seasonal Allergies was great. We saw The Little Mermaid once again. I don't know where you find these actors, but they were great. Dial M for Murder is coming up next. Then, Now and Then, Stargirl, and the big finish, Cabaret, the Tony Award-winning, Academy Award-winning also, musical, because it won the Oscar for Best Picture and also won Tony Awards, plenty of them. I once interviewed Joel Grey, who was Master of Ceremonies for that. And I think he's the only one they brought back from the original Broadway cast to do the same exact role in the movie.
That's true. Exactly true. Bob Fosse, who was the choreographer, wasn't a big fan of Joel Grey. I was even less of a fan of Liza Minnelli, but he used them both because the studio and the producer said, oh no, you're going to use both these actors and you're going to like it. So he did. And I saw the movie when I was a young kid. In fact, it's a pretty good movie. It's a great play. You know, it has an amazing message, I think. And Cabaret is a good show. People should definitely go see it.
And the music, every song is memorable. You know, they always say if you leave the theater humming a tune, you got your money's worth. With Cabaret, you're going to hum about 20 tunes leaving the theater.
Well, I hope that people leave Dial M for Murder humming ways to, you know.
Not giving people ideas.
Yeah, right.
I think Ray Milland and Grace Kelly starred in the movie.
They did indeed. It was, as you said, it was directed by Alfred Hitchcock. It was Grace Kelly, and everybody loves Grace Kelly, and Ray Milland, and Robert Cummings, and some other people.
Bob Cummings.
He was in it, too. He plays the one and only American in the play, and, you know, so.
And it was and later it would become out of character for him because Bob Cummings starred on a comedy sitcom, The Bob Cummings Show.
That's true.
And here's the guy who played very serious roles in the movies before the sitcom came along. Now we had to take him as a comedy actor. And it was the Bob Cummings Show was very successful.
Yes, it was.
Okay, so let's talk about, I got a few minutes here before the break. I want to talk about your career because you started 50 years ago.
Well, I've been doing theater for as long as I can remember. It's been my profession. I actually started in college. I wanted to be an archaeologist and a paleontologist, and I was studying that. And then my friend Chris Hughes, who was involved with the Theater Guild, said, you know, they're doing a play over here at High Street called Summer of the 17th Dial. You might want to check it out. So I did. I went over there, and I got cast in the play. And I just got, it's one of those things where if you get hooked by theater, you get hooked by theater. And I was stuck. And I then went to school and I started studying anthropology and archaeology. And I met a man whose name was Tom Reinert. And he said, you know, you ought to come down and try and hang out with us at the theater. So I did that. And then I got more and more involved with theater in college. And I got involved with theater at the Theater Guild. I started as the maintenance man, as I had mentioned earlier. I then became the technical director, which meant I built all the scenery and stuff for them. And Norm McPhee said to me, you know, this is something you're good at. You should probably go to grad school. And not only should you go to grad school, you should go to where I went to grad school. And so he fixed it. He set it up so that I could go to Utah State University in Logan, Utah. And I got my master's in theater. And I was supposed to come back to the Racine Theater Guild and be the TD again, but things had changed and gone awry and stuff. So I actually had to get a job, and I got a job at Edgewood College in Madison, and I worked at the Madison Rep, and I worked at the University of Wisconsin-Madison, and I worked in Rockford, and worked all over the place doing theater. And then I came back to the Theater Guild because they called me up and said, do you want to come back and be the TD? We need a TD. And I said, yeah, I'll come back and be the TD. Which I did, and then I got involved with the University of Wisconsin Parkside, and I started building all the scenery for the fireside in Fort Atkinson. We built it at Parkside, trucked it out to the fireside, and then I came back and I started working at Parkside, where I worked at Parkside for 24 years, building scenery for the fireside and for Parkside. And I just, you know, I had known Doug Encinas. I actually worked with his wife, Kim, and he said, you know, would you be interested in directing any plays? And I said, oh, I'd love to direct some plays. So as I mentioned, the first show I did was Designed for a Murder, and I did that. I've since done, luckily I've done some comedies and things too, so I'm not the only one at the Theater Guild who goes around killing everybody I see. So
Now you mentioned the Fireside Theater. I've been there before too. They've got something, a real unique situation, because they are totally in the round,
and they do big shows like Les Mis and Cabaret and those sort of shows in the round. They have a center stage which raises and lowers, but
I know, you know that's a real plus. The center of the stage can go down. It could bring the musicians up and down. It could bring the actors up and down, and it brings the props up and down, because you can't be schlepping props, you know, through the aisles, because that's the only way to get there, unless you, because the actors do come through the aisles. But I've seen many shows there, and they pull off musicals, plays. They pull it all off very well at the Fireside Theater, and you guys do too. Hold on a second. We're talking to Mike Klickner, who's the director of Dial M for Murder, opening up not this weekend, but the weekend after at the Racine Theater Guild. Tickets still available. Keep it right here. This is Hometown Radio Refreshed, WRJN, a Civic Media station. Looking for partly sunny weather today with a high near 33. Right now, it's cloudy and 30 degrees in Racine.
To news, talk, and sports for Racine and Kenosha, WRJN.
Wrap up the year. Lease specials are on now at Martin Chrysler Dodge Jeep Ram in Union Grove, Wisconsin.
And so is our food drive.
Please drop off non-perishable food items all month long and help fill the truck in our showroom. Right now, get brand new 2023 Jeep Renegade Latitude for only $375 per month for 39 months. Or pick up a brand new 2023 Jeep Compass Latitude for only $394 per month for 42 months.
$34.99 due at signing plus tax, title, license, and dock fee to qualified buyers with approved credit through Chrysler Capital. Must qualify for discounts. Not all buyers will qualify. Lease based on 10,000 miles per year. No security deposit required. See dealer for details. Expires 12/31/23.
Hi, I'm Pete Schwabe, an actor, writer, director, and comedian. Join me for my new show, Nightlight, here on the Civic Media Radio Network. We'll chill after a long day in traffic, talking politics, or trying to look busy at work. We'll talk movies, TV, theater, music, and lots of fun Wisconsin stuff. So mix an old-fashioned and join the discussion. We'll go from Wisconsin to Hollywood and back, and you can still be in bed by 10. It's Nightlight with Pete Schwabe, weeknights from 8 to 10 on 1400 AM and 99.9 and 98.1 FM WRJN.
This is News Talk and Sports for Racine and Kenosha, WRJN.
If not for you, babe, I couldn't even find the door. I couldn't even see the floor. I'd be sad and blue if not for you.
As a person we lost recently, Olivia Newton-John. That's one of her first big hits. I think that was her first hit, if not for you. Mike Klickner is our guest. He's the director of the latest show coming to the Racine Theater Guild, Dial M for Murder. And Mike, thanks again for joining us here. Where do you find the actors to perform in these shows? Because they're all Broadway quality. And I grew up going to Broadway shows because I lived in New York City. I grew up going to Broadway shows all the time as a kid. That's when ticket prices peaked at $8 a seat to a Broadway show. Now you have to spend over $100. And the people at the Racine Theater Guild are just as good, if not better, than what I saw on Broadway. Where do you find these people?
Well, they're all volunteers. They come from the community. We always announce auditions, and everybody is welcome to come and audition. You know, there are certain criteria. You need certain things. Like, if I need a 90-year-old woman, I'm not going to cast a 4-year-old boy. But, you know, I mean, we try to cast a type, and we also work. Everybody is welcome. And it is community volunteers. And that's what's really important about the Racine Theater Guild, is the majority of what you see happening on stage is because of a fantastic core of volunteers, from lights to sounds to sets to everything. You know, Doug Inston is a professional managing artistic director, and they have Jocelyn Fish is a director of marketing and development, and they have a professional TD. Other than that, everything else is volunteer. So, you know, they come from here and there and everywhere. It's people who have always thought that they wanted to try and be in a play, or people who have been in plays and stopped for a while and have come back. We've had some people who've gone off and worked professionally and retired from that and miss it, and so they come back. So they come from absolutely everywhere.
Now, this is what everybody wants to know. What happens when something goes wrong? Now, I know there is a music guy in the back. He runs a console. Not in the booth, but sometimes there's a guy running music.
Right. That's when we do musicals. There's a man in the back who does that, and he's not in the booth because he has to be able to hear exactly what the audience is hearing.
Right.
Because he's setting sound levels and things. But yeah.
What if a song is coming up and something goes wrong with his console?
Well, absolutely nothing ever goes wrong at the Racine Theater Guild. I don't know what you're talking about, but that is the beauty of live theater, and that's part of the reason we like it, is because you never know what's going to happen, and you deal with it. That's the answer, is you have to deal with it. If he cues up a wrong song or something, he'll have to fix it as soon as he possibly can. If somebody on stage forgets a line or something, the other actors have to pick that up. I directed a play called Sonia Vanya, Sasha, and Spike. And the very last performance, one of the actors got ill, and he could not continue. He could not go on. So I had to get a script and read from the script and went on stage to cover for him. And we finished the play that night with me playing his part and everybody else doing theirs. So you cover for it. You know, in movies, when you make a mistake, you say cut and you do it all over again. We don't have that luxury on stage. And sometimes the audience will respond differently, and you don't know what's going on with them. When I was in, years ago, I was in Of Mice and Men, and one of the guys on stage was giving me a hard time, and some woman from the audience yelled out, "Don't you mess with that man. He didn't do nothing to you." And it's like, you know, it's kind of shocking as an actor, but you go on and you pretend you don't hear that because, you know, we're living in a different world. We don't realize there's an audience out there when we're acting. So.
Well, and that happened in a show recently where one of the actors took ill. I don't think it was seasonal allergies. I think it might have been the one before it. But he took ill, and they brought somebody in, and he held the script in his hand the whole time. But you didn't notice it. Because
right, that was seasonal allergies. That's an actor who was also in my play. That was Scott Kovacek, and he actually got on. This is something we're just learning how to deal with in theater these days. He actually got COVID. So, and as a matter of fact, I just recently got COVID, so I had to have my stage manager and my production stage manager fill in for me for a couple of days. We have a protocol at the Theater Guild to deal with COVID. If you get it, you have to quarantine for 5 days by yourself, and then you could come back after 5 days, but you got to wear a mask, which is the, you know, the disease control. That's what they say you have to do. So that's what we do. And it, you know, we now cast understudies for our shows who don't have to sit and memorize the whole play, but they do have to become very familiar with it. And they take a script and they go on.
And
the old saying, the show must go on.
And there were two shows. One was the Sunshine Boys, where one of the actors had to have the script in his hand. He was a fill-in at the last second. But if they're good at it, you don't notice they're holding a script because they don't read off of it. They look down, get the line, and then put the script back along their side so you don't really see it. And that's how well they pulled it off. And you don't notice the script. Even if you notice it, so what? It's not a big deal. I mean, we're not curing cancer here. We're putting on a show for entertainment. And they pull it off so well. How do you handle the audience? Now, I know before every performance, they shut your phones off, but there's always a couple of people that don't do it. And right in the middle of the show, you'll hear the theme from The Godfather playing on somebody's phone. Or you'll hear boom, 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 boom. And it could be distracting for the actors to hear that.
Well, that's why we have a house manager and we have ushers who go down and politely ask them to, you know, turn their phone off. And it happens. I mean, you know, on Broadway it happens, and if some famous actor will just turn to the audience member and say, "Turn it off."
I know, I've seen that.
But you know, we don't do that here. We treat our audiences with respect, and you know, sometimes it's just people just we've become so used to having these things in our hands that we never could have before. You know, in fact, nowadays, I don't think you could do Dial M for Murder with a cell phone because nobody really dials them anymore. And it's I don't know if people understand the reason it's called Dial M for Murder, and it's not many people know this, is because we used to have a prefix on our phone numbers. When I was a kid, my prefix was Melrose 0976, which later we changed. But in this play, because it's actually set in Midvale, England, which is a suburb of London, the first number you have to dial in order to get Midvale is M.
Oh, okay.
You dial M. And so when it happens, I mean, the murder happens because of a phone call. So anytime the phone rings, the audience now will be wondering, is this it? Is the murder coming?
You know, and my prefix was, mine was Lincoln 1. And we also had Pyramid 9. We had both of those. Yeah, they used to have names before it. You know, people today don't seem to realize that, but that's the way phones used to be. You know, I like when they give a kid a dial phone and they say, "Here, I want you to call this number," and they have no idea how to work a rotary phone.
Right.
They put their finger in it and slowly let it back, which won't work.
Right. It won't work. Yeah. It won't work. But you know, Dial M was written in 1952 when everybody knew what a prefix to a number was. And there are only five numbers after that, you know. So it's actually, there were six-digit phone numbers and there weren't seven. So,
hey, Mike.
Yeah, yes.
I was going to say, hold on a second there. We'll take a quick break. Mike Klickner, director of Dial M for Murder. It's coming to the Racine Theater Guild January 12th through the 28th. I've got Mike tickets. We've got season tickets, so I get tickets to everything. But I love the Racine Theater Guild show. We'll talk more about the show and also what's coming to the Racine Theater Guild in just a moment. It's Hometown Radio Refreshed, a civic media station. I'm Don Rosen, 729 at WRJN.
News Talk talking sports for Racine and Kenosha, WRJN.
CBS News brief. Republicans want President Biden to reinstate Trump-era immigration restrictions, often called the Remain in Mexico policy. House Speaker Mike Johnson tells CBS News current policy isn't working.
The catch-and-release program has created part of this problem. You could end catch-and-release.
Former president, current candidate Donald Trump has asked the U.S. Supreme Court to hear his case for getting back the Colorado GOP primary ballot. CBS News legal contributor Jessica Levinson.
The U.S. Supreme Court has to provide us some guidance on what the federal constitution means, and specifically clarity on Section 3 of the 14th Amendment.
The names of indicted sex trafficker Jeffrey Epstein's alleged victims and other people he's connected to, was connected to, have been released. CBS's Nancy Chan.
It's important to note that being named does not necessarily mean that someone had knowledge of or involvement in Epstein's crimes, with the documents also including the names of accusers along with potential witnesses.
CBS News brief. I'm Peter King.
For Civic Media News, I'm Nate Wegehout. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. Workers at Planned Parenthood of Wisconsin are working to form a union. They're being represented by the Wisconsin Federation of Nurses and Health Professionals. They say that unionizing will help improve their working environment and enhance patient care. They expect around 100 Planned Parenthood workers to be included in the union. 22 states raised their minimum wage on New Year's Day, but not Wisconsin, where baseline pay remains at $7.25 an hour. More businesses are raising pay on their own, but not everyone benefits.
For the workers who really have those constraints on opportunity because of their concerns about immigration status, concerns about physical mobility, employers can really take advantage of that.
Laura Dresser is a labor economist who studied the issue for the Center on Wisconsin Strategy. I'm Nate Wegehout, Civic Media News.
When I first had my baby, I'd get comments all the time about how happy I must be. I remember thinking, I want to be happy. Why don't I feel that way? It was hard to admit that, even to my doctor, but I'm glad I did. She told me it was postpartum depression, and that is very treatable. These days, things are feeling good, and we're both happier about that. Right, little man? I'll take that as a yes.
Mental health care is working for Simone. See what it can do for you at mentalhealthcareworks.org. A message from the American Psychiatric Association Foundation.
Mostly sunny today. We'll get to 32 for a high this afternoon with wind out of the northwest becoming southwesterly at 5 to 10. Tonight, partly cloudy, 24. Tomorrow, mostly cloudy, 36. Saturday, cloudy with some light snow at a high of 38. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Currently, it's 28.
Lexi spent more than 6 years in foster care.
Before I was adopted, I felt alone.
With help from the Dave Thomas Foundation for Adoption, Lexi now has a forever family and the foundation for a bright future.
Adoption changed me for the better. I feel like I can be whoever I want to be.
You can help find permanent homes for children still lingering in foster care. Learn more at DaveThomasFoundation.org.
You're listening to News Talk and Sports for Racine and Kenosha, WRJN.
Robert Hack Diamonds pays cash for your unwanted gold, silver, and even diamonds. That's right. Robert Hack Diamonds wants to make you an offer on your gold, silver, and diamonds. The process is very simple. No appointment needed. Just come on in, sit down in a nice, relaxed atmosphere, and the staff of Robert Hack Diamonds will evaluate your unwanted gold, silver, and diamonds and make you an offer on the spot. Robert Hack Diamonds now open in Brookfield and the other location on 76 in Layton. RobertHackDiamonds.com.
Are you ready to enjoy retirement? How would you like to live in a place dedicated to your comfort while allowing you the freedom to live an active and worry-free lifestyle? Fountain Hills offers condo-style apartments, and their residents enjoy going out for lunches and dinners, grocery shopping, playing cards and bingo with other residents, all while using extra precautions to keep their senior residents safe. To explore becoming a Fountain Hills resident, see FountainHillsApartments.com or call 262-886-9200.
On air, online, and on the Civic Media app.
Battle stations, everybody. Let's go, go.
This
go, go,
is 1400 AM and 99.9 and 98.1 FM, WRJN.
7:35 at WRJN Radio, Hometown Radio Refreshed. And Mike Klickner is here, the director of the latest show coming to the Racine Theater Guild January 12th through the 28th, Dial M for Murder. You were telling me you have a lot of murder shows you direct. You must be their killer director, no pun intended.
I am. So, you know, you don't want to mess with me at the Theater Guild. Otherwise, you know, you might get killed.
Oh, boy. In the show.
only in the show. I'm not a murderer in any way, shape, or form. So
now you have auditions.
I'm just the director.
You have auditions coming up for future shows. You always have to have you got to keep it going all the time because, you know,
all the time.
It's like the TV show Survivor. Next season's already filmed when you're seeing this season because they got to keep it going. They can't.
That's correct.
So you have constant auditions going on. What are you auditioning for now?
Well, next Doug Incidence will be auditioning Now and Then, which auditions Monday, January 8th, and Tuesday, January 9th at 7 p.m. There's roles for one man and one woman in their 20s to 30s, and one man and one woman in their 40s to 70s. It's quite a unique play. It's a very touching, tender little play. I don't want to get into too much about what it's about because, I mean, I think that it's best. One of those plays, you really kind of got to see it to get it. And then after that, the production dates from that are February 23rd through March 10th. And after that, and very soon, we have auditions for Stargirl, which is Monday, January 15th and January 16th at 7 p.m. And there's roles in that for three boys and two girls aged 13 to 18, one man, 40s. That's why one of our outreach performances that we do for the younger audiences in our town. And that opens April 12th and goes to the 23rd. And then they have outreach performances April 16th and April 17th. So
when you do, when you cast children, that must be tough because you're dealing with children, not dealing with adults. And in memorizing, I don't know how you guys memorize lines. I actually have the call letters sitting right in front of me so I don't forget what station I'm working at. But I don't know how you work with children. First of all, how do you deal with the school and that? How do they do their homework when they're on stage at night or they're, you know, or they're rehearsing with you guys? How do they get all their schoolwork done?
Well, we tend to cast kids who want to be theater type kids anyway and are really into it. And they know, and their parents will let them know that in order to be in the job, in the play, I mean, they have to keep up with their schoolwork. And they come to school and it's funny because they'll sit in the theater and they'll have like 57 tutors all helping them do their homework and everything. You know, everybody down there wants to help them and keep them going. So they do sometimes miss school, but their schools look at it as extra credit and they learn by doing sometimes. And so, you know, it's quite a good thing for young people. Theater isn't just about watching plays and things. You know, it teaches you how to be a well-rounded person. It teaches you to listen and to learn and to see what's going on in the world around you and experience other things that you might normally not experience. So,
and it's just like in the movies when you see the old time, the actors now they're adults, but when they were kids back in the 40s and 50s, you'd see the trailer with the teacher in there. And every time they had a break in filming, they'd learn another subject. Then they're back on the set. Then they're back and learn it. I don't know how they do it. I really don't. That's why some kids go nuts, I guess, eventually, some child actors in the movies. But yeah. I don't know how they, you know, I had trouble going to high school and, you know, getting out of there with my brain intact, and I went full time.
But, right.
By the way, real quickly, because I'll forget if I don't say it. I was in the drama club in my high school. I auditioned for a show. I couldn't act. I couldn't even. It was bad. I just don't know why. Mm-hmm. I wasn't nervous because I don't get nervous in front of people, but I just couldn't pull it off. Maybe I could today, but you know, I'm a lot older now. So, but I couldn't pull it off. So they put me in charge of a stage crew. I was a stage manager.
Right.
And eventually I took over light. I took over everything after a while. And I did that. And if you look in our yearbook, we did 12 Angry Men with both girls and boys. I mean, we just, you know, you take what you get in that. Yeah, and these are all excellent kids acting.
That happens quite a bit. And then you call that 12 Angry People.
No, we didn't.
That's what happens these days. It's called 12 Angry People.
Well, and if you look closely in the yearbook, they took a picture of it. And there's a set of Venetian blinds hanging up in the background. That's from my bedroom. We needed, when you're stage manager, and, you know, we don't have a budget for this stuff.
Right.
I mean, you need something. All right, who's got blinds? And nobody had them. So I unscrewed them from the window in my bedroom. And my mother says, where are you going? I said, we need them for the show.
I think you bring up an important point that not everybody in theater is an actor. You know, we need people who can do makeup and who can build sets and who can do costumes and who can help with props and things. So there is a place for everybody in the theater. I mean, you don't have to be an actor. You don't have to be a director. You don't have to be a singer to work on a musical. You know, you could help move scenery. You could do a little bit of everything. It's not, you know, everybody assumes that everybody involved in theater is an actor. Well, we're not all actors, you know, so.
And I told Doug Incenis this many, many times. I am just astounded by the people who do the art direction there, the set directors.
Right.
Because you have a very limited space to pull this off.
Right.
And whatever in the background, generally not all the time, it's got to stay there for the whole show. And you have to bring things in. When you did the Cemetery Club, the house set stayed there. But they brought the tombstones out just in front of the audience. So you felt like you were in a cemetery, even though the living room was right in the background. But they worked it in such a way where you didn't see the living room after a while. Right. Even though it was lit up, you just saw the tombstones and the actors, and you believed you were in a cemetery. That's great art direction.
Right. Well, I'm fortunate with Dial M for Murder. I have a single set. It's an apartment that the Wendises, Mr. and Mrs. Wendis, live in, and it's a single set. So I'm pretty fortunate that way. But, you know, it is challenging, and we do, as you said, get some pretty talented scenic designers who come in there, and you know, it's a challenge for them. And people in theater, you know, there are no problems. There are challenges, and we like a good challenge. So.
Oh, yeah, I meant to ask. I never remembered to ask Doug this when I spoke to him. On your stage, do you rebuild that stage, the actual functioning stage there? Because I noticed that it always looks different.
We never rebuild the whole entire stage. There is it's a thrust stage, which is always there, that wedge-shaped thing. Then there's what's called the gutter, which runs around, and sometimes you'll see there's two or three steps up to the stage, and then there's these long ramps that go off stage, which are the VOMs. But we sometimes fill in the gutter, which they just did for Little Mermaid, to give it much more space.
Right,
so that
that's
you can have more room. But they, no. Well, that stage is always there. They sometimes build it up, but.
Yeah, sometimes it just looks different at the front sometimes.
It sometimes does, yeah.
Now,
and that's just because they fill in the gutters.
Have you guys ever thought of doing what they do at the fireside, using the center stage to go up and down?
It's impossible where we're at this point. There's just, you'd have to totally close down the theater, which the fireside did for several months, and dig a great big pit underneath and a basement, and then put all that lift. Actually, the lift at the fireside is actually an old carnival ride that raises and lowers. Not a lot of people know that. I just outed their lift. So
you broke their secret.
I did.
Now, also, you guys, actually, I remember when this happened, CNN used the Racine Theater Guild to do their, I don't know if it was when Clinton was running for office, President Clinton. I don't know when he's running, but they actually used it for one of their town hall meetings. And they had to add all this extra lighting to the theater, I heard. And when they stopped. They said, keep it. Is that a true story?
That's true. They did bring some in and bring it. Yeah, you know, as you may or may not know, and our viewers may not know, there is a whole lot of money in television and you know, actually the lighting and things that most people see on stage actually gets its birth in rock and roll music, believe it or not, because there is so much money in rock and roll and so much innovation in lighting and staging and stuff that they get a lot. But yeah, CNN came and did their town meeting, and it was quite an interesting time. It was very hush-hush, and people, you know, had to Secret Service all over the place and everything, because we're talking about, you know, high-level political figures. So yeah, it was quite an interesting thing, and it's fascinating. And we found it was quite an honor for them to say, yeah, no, we want to do it at the Racine Theater Guild, this little hometown theater that's, you know, 80 plus years old now, and they wanted to do it there. So we were quite excited about it.
I remember watching it on TV. I think Jake Tapper was the host of it there that night. But I love the fact they put the lights up. Ah, keep them. That was kind of nice.
You know, well, it's not worth their time sometimes to take all that stuff down, because you got to pay, you got to bring in union professionals to take everything down and all of that sort of stuff. And sometimes it's just not worth it to them. It's just whatever. They probably have warehouses full of lighting equipment anyway.
On the other side of our break, I want to talk about the children's theater you have. But before we get to that, when do you start auditions for Cabaret? That's got to be a big undertaking, because there are a lot of roles in Cabaret and a lot of songs, and people know what they're supposed to sound like. So when do the auditions start for that?
You know, I'm not actually sure when that is, but if you call the Theater Guild and talk to them in the box office, they will know exactly when that is. I say just stay tuned to WRJN, and they'll let you know when it is.
Yes, you let us know, and we'll spread the word. There's nothing like a good Nazi musical, huh, to get to end the season.
Oh, boy. Yeah.
That's what it is, folks. If you've never seen it, it's a Nazi musical. And now, here's the thing I don't know. Are you guys going to do? Are you going to make the actors wear swastikas on their uniforms? I mean, I know you don't know now, but that's what they did in the movie, in the Broadway show. I mean, they had to wear them, and that's kind of, people get nervous see that.
I think they might. Yeah. I don't know what Doug has planned for that, but they might, because, you know, it's a historical event that actually occurred, and
yes,
everybody knows that. You know, it is a horrific symbol now, which is unfortunate, because there are Native American, ancient Native American symbols which look like a swastika,
right,
which stood for peace and
right,
all of that. But you know, and it was a very docile type symbol to begin with, until, you know, Hitler and his cronies said, "Hey, I got an idea. Why don't we take this very common symbol and make it our symbol?" And then, you know, he ruined it for everybody forever.
Yeah. He also ruined the name Adolf, too. Not a lot of kids named Adolf these days.
And little toothbrush mustaches, but other than that.
Yeah, he ruined a lot of things. Well, I can't wait to see Cabaret. I never saw it on Broadway. I've seen the movie, but I've never seen the...
It's a little bit different. It's a little bit different. I did it at Parkside years ago with them, and it's a little different. And if you know Cabaret's the musical, you know Cabaret. You know, whether you see the movie, the play, whatever, it's all basically the same thing.
Yeah.
So,
all right, we're talking to Mike Klickner, the director of Dial M for Murder. In just a moment, we'll talk about children's theater coming to the Racine Theater Guild. But first, at Hospice Alliance, they collaborate with their patients and their loved ones on goals, seeking to add more life to days. The Hospice Alliance team helps people with life-limiting illness live each day with dignity, comfort, and hope. When seeking hospice care, ask for Hospice Alliance, the award-winning community-based nonprofit that gives back through education, services, and grief support. To learn more, visit hospicealliance.org. 7:49 at WRJN Radio, Hometown Radio, refreshed.
This is News Talk and Sports for Racine and Kenosha, WRJN.
Are you ready to enjoy retirement? How would you like to live in a place dedicated to your comfort while allowing you the freedom to live an active and worry-free lifestyle? Fountain Hills offers condo-style apartments, and their residents enjoy going out for lunches and dinners, grocery shopping, playing cards and bingo with other residents, all while using extra precautions to keep their senior residents safe. To explore becoming a Fountain Hills resident, see FountainHillsApartments.com or call 262-886-9200.
One in four Americans today are living with a disability. I'm one of them. People with disabilities are extremely talented, resilient problem solvers that have so much to offer. And we've got a trusted ally on our side, an organization we can rely on, Easter Seals. Easter Seals is leading the way to full equity, inclusion, and access to healthcare, employment, and education for people with disabilities, families, and communities. That's my Easter Seals. Make it yours.
Learn more and get involved at EasterSeals.com.
News, talk, and sports for Racine and Kenosha, WRJN.
Mike Klickner is here, director of ILM for Murder at the Racine Theater Guild. You know, Huey Lewis tried his hand at acting it a few times. He wasn't bad. Did you ever see him on screen acting?
I never did, actually.
He was in a movie called Duets. He had a major role. He was one of the two main characters in Duet. Or I think it was called Duets. I'm trying to remember what it was. He also had a very minor role in Back to the Future. You've seen the movie,
oh,
right?
Oh, really?
Do you remember where
he was?
I've
seen Back to the Future. I've seen. I'm not sure where he was, but
when Michael J. Fox's band was auditioning at the high school, he had the bullhorn and he said, "Next."
Oh, really?
They gave him one word. Next.
Well, there you go.
So everybody's an actor. They'll put everybody in the movies except me because I couldn't act. Now, you've got the children's theater at the Racine Theater Guild. This is really fun because these are young people who want to test their abilities to become a thespian in the theater. And these are really good shows. These are not, I won't call them kiddie shows, but they're shows that feature children and they can have a lot of fun with. And you guys have been doing this for a while now. It's because theater for the young and the young at heart, the children's theater.
That's true.
So let's talk about that a little bit.
Okay. Well, we teach classes in theater for young people. In fact, the first group, which is for ages 6 through 9, and it starts Monday, February 5th and runs through Monday, April 15th, is called Fairy Tales and Fables. And they meet, Monday through Friday, or whenever they meet, I'm not sure. Mondays, I guess, at 4:30 to 6 p.m. And then they work with their teacher, Tina Poxtellis, and she will teach them how to, you know, read and perform and put on basically Aesop's fables and things like that. So then they will then have a chance when they can all, from the class, perform that live on stage. And there's another group, which is for ages 8 through 12, which is Broadway Bound, which starts Wednesday, February 7th and runs through Wednesday, April 17th. And that's pretty much, you know, what it sounds like. It's songs and plays and things that are from Broadway. You know, could be Rent, could be Cabaret, could be Shrek, it could be The Little Mermaid. Who knows what it is?
And that's
then
it.
We also have...
Go ahead.
Pardon?
No, go ahead. Go ahead.
Then we have another class, the last class, Drama Olympics, which is for ages 10 to 14. And then they learn to, and that's Saturday, February 10th through Saturday, April 20th. And they learn to write their own stories and their own plays, and they work as a team, and they learn to listen and react to each other and to create little moments. So that's what theater is it's a combination of little moments that make up a story, and usually there's some sort of thread that winds it all through. And the kids love it, and the teachers are great. Our other teachers, Peter Munoz and Tina Poxtellis, and they've both been doing theater for a long time. In fact, Tina was a former student of mine when I was teaching out at Parkside,
She's a very talented actress. People have seen her in Theater Guild plays and Sixth Street Theater and all around town. So yeah, the children are important. The children are our future.
That's right.
The song. So, you know, and we want them to become involved and know that theater, that I've always said that theater should be fun. And if you're not having fun, then you should stop doing it. When it becomes too much of a chore or a job or work, you don't want to do it anymore. Because it should be fun. It should be fun for you. It should be fun for the people watching. You know, even with a serious play like Dial M, you know, it's a serious subject, but I hope that people go away feeling that they've experienced something or felt something or learned something. So,
and, you know, you have to grow your next crop of actors. Because
right.
Everyone's getting old and everyone disappears after a while. So the next generation, you're growing your own crop. I see you have Alice in Wonderland, February 2 through the 4th. And you have James and the Giant Peach, March 15th through the 17th at the Children's Theater at the Pristine Theater Guild. That's just wonderful.
Yeah.
I mean, this is a great way to grow your next crop of actors. I really like that.
It is.
Okay, so I insist you go ahead.
Oh, I was going to say, you know, and we do, some of those kids do go on and do theater, and they go on to other things, or they continue doing it. It's not, if you want to get rich and you want to have a profession, then you don't want to go into theater, because you will never really get rich. I mean, of all the people in the world who consider themselves professional actors, 98% of them are out of work at any given time. It's only that upper 2% who are the Johnny Depps and those types who are way up there, you know, and they're not always working. So it is a tough profession to get into, but, you know, it's one of those things that if you love it and your soul or your body drives you to do it, then you have to do it. And that's kind of sort of what happened to me, is I couldn't think of anything else I'd rather be doing, so I did theater.
You know,
of course, it's in my blood. My parents met and got married through the Racine Theater Guild. My wife and I met and got married through the Racine Theater Guild. Some of my lifelong best friends that I have in the world, I met at the Racine Theater Guild. And my dad was a lawyer, and he said that any lawyer who is worth his salt should take a lot of acting classes and should learn to be a good actor, because he was a trial lawyer. So, you know, that just makes sense.
You know, and if you want to prove what you just said about most of, you know, only the top 2% are the, you know, the big stars and the big money makers.
Right.
When they had the SAG-AFTRA strike a few months ago, they were talking to people
right.
who were actors that just rarely worked. They worked in other jobs, but they belonged to SAG-AFTRA just in case something came along for them.
Right.
But yeah, that's so true. You get the top tier, and everybody thinks it's so easy. And it's
right.
not, you know, there. And a lot of people can't handle the failure of it. That's the sad part of it. You know, they might get one good big role, and then the roles dry up, and they just
right.
they can't handle it.
Right. Well, you know, you'd mentioned that you were familiar with theater in New York and everything. And one of my favorite T-shirts that I've seen when I've been was in New York. We used to take groups from school all the time to New York to see plays. One of my favorite T-shirts is, "You're an actor in New York? Really? What restaurant?"
That is so true. It's sad, but it's true. But, you know,
it is true.
But, you know, I started off as a janitor in radio. I cleaned toilet bowls at a radio station until they put me on the air.
Right.
You also said you maintenance guy for a while.
Right.
Everybody's got to start somewhere. Hey,
right.
Mike Klickner, director of Dial M for Murder, committing murder on the stage at the Racine Theater Guild January 12th and 28th, every night of murder. So get your tickets now, or if you're like me, just get the season ticket thing so you don't have to think about it. Hey, Mike, thanks a lot. I'll be seeing you at the Racine Theater Guild and Dial M for Murder. Thanks a lot for joining us. Hold on the line. Don't go anywhere. Hold on. It's 7:59 at WRJN. I'll catch you tomorrow morning, 6 a.m., bright and early. I'm Don Rosen at WRJN, Hometown Radio. Refreshed, a civic media station.
News, talk, and the sports that made Wisconsin great. Packers, Bucks, and coming in 2024, the Brewers. 1400 a.m. and 99.9 and 98.1 FM, WRJN.
Did you know this local radio station is part of civic media? Learn more about the entire network at civicmedia.us.
At Hospice Alliance, not all volunteers work directly with our patients. Some help with special projects,
office work, mailings, check-in phone calls, and much more. Anything you want to do, Hospice Alliance has a volunteer role for you. Serving patients and families in Racine, Kenosha, Southern Milwaukee, and Eastern Walworth counties. If you'd like to learn more about Hospice Alliance's services or assisting in our mission, visit hospicealliance.org.
Your home for the Packers.
1400 AM WRJN Racine, 99.9 FM W260 CV Racine, and 98.1 FM W251 BU Kenosha.
And streaming everywhere on the Civic.